Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryankaravavahai Tejasvinavadhitamastu Mavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sarigaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
So page 35. Srila Sukadev Goswami continued, the inhabitants of Vrindavan, headed by Nanda Maharaj, and including his associate cowherd men and their wives, were none but denizens of the heavenly planets. Omaras Parikit, best of the descendants of Bharata, and so too were the descendants of the Vrishni dynasty, headed by Vasudeva and Devaki, and the other women of the dynasty of Yadu. The friends, relatives, and well-wishers of both Nanda Maharaj and Vasudeva, and even those who externally appeared to be followers of Kamsa, were all demigods. Footnote 14. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur points out that these two verses could have either been spoken by Srila Sukadev Goswami to Maharaj Parikit as translated above, or it can be taken as the words of Sri Narad Muni spoken to Kamsa, further warning him of the dire situation as Srila Prabhupada presents it in his Krishna book. If the latter is the case, the word Bharata, which refers to Maharaj Parikit above, would refer to Kamsa with Bha, meaning desire, in the mode of ignorance, and Rata, meaning absorption, since Kamsa was always absorbed in enjoying in the mode of ignorance. Also, in his additional notes for this chapter, Srila Prabhupada writes, an additional verse in this chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam is accepted by the Madhvacharya Sampradaya, represented by Vijayadvaj Tirtha. The verse is as follows. Atakam sham upagamyam upagamya narado brahmanandanaha ekantam upasangamya yakam etad uvachaha. Translation. Thereafter, Narada, the mental son of Lord Brahma, approached Kamsa and, in a very solitary place, informed him of the following news. So that verse would be there, and then this would have been spoken. So this is not an uncommon method. It's not used all the time, but it's not an uncommon method in the Vedic literatures. Is that if the same knowledge applies to two different things, sometimes it's only explained once. There'll be some references there so you can understand the difference. Does that make sense? Just like, let's say, when you're taking a bath. So then the act of putting something on the body, scrubbing it, that's called prithvi snan, right? So prithvi means earth. And then after taking the bath, you purify yourself with tilak. So the verse might say, by purifying oneself in the bath and, by applying earth, you understand? Then, puts on, the appropriate clothes. Does that make sense? So, for some, they may catch none of that, may catch one, may catch the other, but it's actually describing two. Purifying with earth in the bath and purifying with earth is the tilak. Because in the process, tilak is before, the clothes are put. So if it's not mentioned, it means it's in both. Otherwise, it might mention both just to make it clear. Does that make sense? So that one verse could be explaining both things is not actually a problem. Does that make sense? Because it applies to both. They are all from the demigods. They are like this. At the same time, this being explained to Kamsa, then that would explain why he then becomes all disturbed, right? And after he's already, because this is a connection, he could not rely on Kamsa's word. And so this is why, because as soon as this kind of information comes up, immediately then he goes back to his mood while he was on the chariot. Mm-hmm. Right? Is that... Yeah. Is that... Yes. So there's certain Vedic literary styles that are used. If you appreciate those, then things work. You know, like writing the book and then writing your own commentary as a separate thing on the book. So by Western scholarship, that doesn't make sense. But that's standard, because the book says exactly all the essence and everything, and so someone who has more of a knowledge of the subject by studying the book will appreciate what's going on. But it needs explanation, therefore then more is given. So the text is there, the flow of the thing, and then you have the commentaries. So in the modern, they don't do stuff like that. You know, at least not in present times. Yes?
The instruction manuals for devices. You figure out how to use them, but the instruction manual for the manufacturer is more easy to...
Yes, yes, of course. Okay, Srila Prabhupada comments. As previously discussed, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, informed Lord Brahma that Lord Krishna would personally descend to mitigate the suffering on the earth. The Lord ordered all the denizens of the heavenly planets to take birth in different families of the Yadu and Vrishni dynasties and in Vrindavan. Now this verse informs us that all the family and friends of the Yadu dynasty, the Vrishni dynasty, Nandamars and the Gopas, descended from the heavenly planets to see the pastimes of the Lord. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 4.8, the Lord's pastimes consist of the Paratranaya Sadhunam Vinashaya Chadushkritam, saving the devotees and killing the demons. To demonstrate these activities, the Lord called for devotees from different parts of the universe. There are many devotees who are elevated to higher planetary systems. Prapya Punyam Kritam Lokan Ushitva Shashvati Sama Suchinam Srimatam Gehe Yoga Brashto Vijayate. The unsuccessful yogi, after many, many years of enjoyment on the planets of the pious living entities, is born into a family of righteous person, or into a family of rich aristocracy. Bhagavad Gita 6.41. Some devotees, having failed to complete the process of devotional service, are promoted to the heavenly planets, to which the pious are elevated, and after enjoying there, they may be promoted to the place where the Lord's pastimes are going on. When Lord Krishna was to appear, the denizens of the heavenly planets were invited to see the pastimes of the Lord, and thus it is stated here that the members of the Yadu and Vrishni dynasties and the inhabitants of Vrindavan were demigods, or almost as good as demigods. Even those who externally held the activities of Kamsa belonged to the higher planetary systems. The imprisonment and release of Vasudeva and the killing of the devotees and the killing of various demons were all manifestations of the pastimes of the Lord. And because the devotees would be pleased to see these activities personally, they were all invited to take birth as friends and relatives of these families. As confirmed in the prayers of Kunti, Srimad Bhagavatam 1.8.19, Nato Natya Dharo Yata. The Lord was to play the part of a demon killer and a friend, son, and brother to his devotees. And thus these devotees were all summoned. Right? So you have, the point is that the Lord, in performing his pastimes, and all these devotees, they all come, because it's the devotees who are going to the heavenly planets. Right? They're taking part in this. So it's not just, you know, any just materialistic, but those are the devotional aspect. So we're not necessarily talking about those who go to a heavenly planet as just a resident to enjoy, but we're talking about those who, you know, take part in the universal affairs. They're devotees. Does that make sense? So they will come when the Lord comes, then they come. But at the same time, as one may ask about, well, what about the Vrajabhasis? They're the, you know, eternal associates. But that means the eternal associate descends, and those aspects of the demigods that are expanding from them, because they're the original of the demigods. Because we were asking, where the demigods go back to? They go back to the associates of the Lord. And then from them expands, then the ones in the spiritual realm, and then that they expand into here. Does that make sense? Yeah. like that. So then they are absorbed in them, just like when Krishna comes, then all the other incarnations are absorbed in him. So then all these others are absorbed there. I think, where was that discussed? I think we already discussed that in Brihad Bhagavatamrita or Lagu Bhagavatamrita or something. Lagu, I think it's, we discussed this before. So that's what will happen with them. Now there's persons who are there that are interested in that, like the wives of the demigods. They're one group of gopis, right? The sages at Naimisharanya, they're another group. Like this, so the personified Vedas, they're another group. So then they'll be coming as those who are going to be brought to the platform of prema. So then it's not that they're absorbing it, but those who are the eternal associates, then that aspect of the demigods that is that it originates in them is already part of them. Does that make sense? So in this way, then you have both the eternal associates and you have those who are learning to become eternal associates. Right? So that aspect is there. Another aspect is those who don't perfect their devotional services, like they go to the heavenly planets, that from there they can take part in the Gokul pastimes. You know, if it so happens like this. So it is possible to progress from there. One has taken up devotional service, one can progress. But at the same time, one shouldn't depend upon that. One should be more serious. Otherwise, then, as it says, then they'll take birth in the family of righteous people or into a family of rich aristocracy. That can also mean within the pastimes or within the non, and then the, how you say, one will come in contact again because of previous devotional service, come in contact with the devotees again, and continue one's devotional service from there. Yes?
The doubt might be those who come from heaven as a sadhakas and participate in the pastimes, after the pastimes is finished, do they go back to the heaven and...
There is the aspect of where Krishna tells to go back to there, and then after that they'll go back to the spiritual world, like that. But they've already come to that platform where they're qualified. But that, from what I get, generally you have that's the aspect of the Vaikuntha, those who are from Vaikuntha.
Okay.
Yeah, I would get the idea that those there, then they would then, at least in Braj, then they would go back to. Alone. But, you know, we'll see. You know, detail comes up. Yes?
Are all the residents of heavenly planets devotees of Lord Krishna? Or
to... Generally, no. It means they're those who are all the office holders, the 33 million, they would be. Now, whether all the ones that are just there to have a good time, that's another point.
I read somewhere they said that when it said 33 koti, it doesn't mean 33 crores, it actually means 33 types. So somebody sent me a message and he told what are all the types of Daniel. So I thought maybe it's relevant, but
and there can't be lots of them in one type.
Sorry?
So there can't be lots of demigods in one type.
No, the message said that it's just an interpretation of the word. Some people say it's 33 types.
Yeah, but who wrote this message? Yes, so then the whole point is how do we know that this is not coming from an atheistic mentality?
No, he mentioned that all the points, 33 types, Adityas are there.
That's great, but how do we know that if there's 33 million, how do you know that there's not a million in each type? Like if I say, okay, there's sports cars and there's, you know, family cars and there's SUVs and there's like this. So there's no variety in them, right? Nothing. There's one sports car, right? And it must be Jaguar because Tata owns it, right?
Maybe that was wrong, but they told that it's not 33 million, but it's 33 types.
It's 33 types, but there may be 33 million altogether. Just like, okay, let's say, okay, we have the Indian Army, okay, or the Indian military, okay, and we say that there's X amount of million military. And then you say, no, that's not right, because they have Air Force, they have Navy, they have, you know, Army, And what's the fourth one? Oh, well, whatever. You know, and then within those, there are the guys that are in the field, and then there's the guys that are in the office, so that's different six there. And then you have the airborne, you have this and that, and so many different things. So like that, there's only 33 types. So the Indian Army only has 33 people in it. Yes! In other words, if the Acharyas say 33 million, they mean 33 million. Now, if they happen to be in 33 categories, makes it even more fun. But for so-called scholars trying to bend their tiny brain around the Shastra, and so they have to come up with these kind of things, what's the point? Prabhupada says 33 million. So, what's the value of this statement? You understand? So, therefore, such people qualify themselves for, you know, how you say? Honorable, what do you call it? The Czech word for tossing out the window. Defenestration. And because they're so intelligent, that means they're more elevated, so the higher the floor, the better.
That's a scholar from Arya Samaj.
Okay, that's a scholar from Arya Samaj. So, atheists. See, they just want to be able to put it into this and that, so it's all compact little things, so then they can go on doing their own thing. You have to be always very, very careful. It's not that there's not 33 categories. Right? Because you can look in the creation of the Prajapatis and what they're producing, so then you go in there and that will have. You know what I'm saying? So the materialists are more interested in that aspect of numbers than the other, because volume, you know, they can't handle the volume. But you look up in the sky, there's only 33 stars up there. You know, and sun and moon are already taken care of. That's two of them, okay? So that means that's 31 stars total up there. So all those stars, these are these people.
They will be referring to the incharges of those planets, like millions, because the residents would be innumerable. And then we have billions on Earth.
So there's only 33 demigods total.
No, I mean, when you say 33 million, do we refer to the heads of the planets or the...
That I know of, we do. Or at least heads of an office. In other words, they have a little cubicle where they have their pile of papers that they have to take care of. You know, this guy has to blink his eyes so many times. This guy's eyes actually dry out, so he has problems drinking. He has to use drops. That kind of stuff. You know, this one gets a bug in his eye, so then he blinks too much. You know, so, you know, those wallas. I mean, just look at the Indian government. How many IAS officers are around in the secretary? Right? Coming out your ears, right? And that's just to run this place, and how well is this run? Right? Does that work?
One more point about the denizens falling to the earth. Told in some lecture that they fall as rain.
Yes. Why? You want them to fall as something else?
No, but when it said, when we hear...
Like that.
I mean,
technically, when they fall, they're men, but when they get down to here, they're rain. So it's actually a... How you say? Only a... it's the ideal... The simply a strong hope that the men make it all the way down here, but they don't.
Is it like rain, grain, like that, or when
yes.
they fall as they come to the elites and the aristocratic, or the sandwich that I mentioned today?
Yeah, but they fall as rain, and that becomes grain. Then the aristocratic guy eats it. Then he impregnates his wife, and then you have the kid.
Not directly that way.
No, rain. But not men. Rain. Okay? Penny dropped. You know, yeah, you hear this thump on the front door. The wife goes and, oh, drags him inside, and then, you know.
Directly implanted in the embryo. May not be the embryo.
What's the problem with the Shastra says this is how it's done?
Sorry, Maharaj, I was a bit confused because I thought that if rain, that would be the other story and this is something else. But
they're all connected. All the stories are connected. Yes. All right? Okay. Okay, so the Lord comes to play all these different parts according to his desire, according to the relationship of the particular devotee and that and what they're interested in. And so then, like this, it all goes on. So he calls these different devatas, they all come, they all take part. Okay? Because the point is those who are taking part in the Lord's pastime, they have to be of higher qualities. Otherwise, how are they going to take part in the Lord's pastimes? Because that's the point, is they're devatas. Right, so the devotees are considered demigods. So that's why it's demigods take part in the Lord's pastimes. Yes?
Maharaj, this is the same way as like, you know, our own, the whole process is about following the devotees, following the footsteps of a particular devotee of a particular rasa.
Yes.
Similarly, the demigods also follow.
They're following the same thing. It's just, that's the point. In the pastimes, they're doing it. So it's either through meditation or it's for actually physically being there. So the point is, but until you come to a certain platform, then you can't do, because it's this manifest pastimes, even though they may be on a lower level, they can take part and in this way, you know, be elevated. So there must be something special about them, otherwise why them? Sukadeva Goswami continued, once the great sage Narada approached Kamsa and informed him of how the demoniac persons who were a great burden on the earth were going to be killed. Thus Kamsa was placed into great fear and doubt. Srila Prabhupada comments, in the Upanishads it is stated that the demigods are different parts of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As it is the duty of the parts of the body to serve the whole, it is the duty of Krishna's devotees to serve Krishna as he wants. Krishna's business is to kill the demons, and therefore this should be a devotee's business also. Because the people of Kali Yuga are fallen, however, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, out of kindness for them, did not bring any weapon to kill them. Rather, by spreading Krishna consciousness, love of Krishna, he wanted to kill their nefarious demoniac activities. This is the purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement. Unless the demoniac activities on the surface of the world are diminished or vanquished, no one can be happy. The program for the conditioned soul is fully described in Bhagavad Gita, and one simply has to follow these instructions to become happy. So, it's already been given. The Lord comes, people are able to take part according to His direction. So, that method is already there. So, we can take part in the same pastimes, though the Lord may not be physically present in His prakat pastimes. But he's there in his instructions, he's there in his name, he's there in that potency, so therefore taking part in this way, then the process works. Right? So that's the thing, it's about encouraging. So if we say, oh, it's a modern thing, that, oh, why don't you be more encouraging when you're teaching and this and that. But the point is that where does that come from? That comes from Lord Chaitanya, because in Kali Yuga, then people aren't qualified. So therefore, by showing the positive, they'll give up the negative. It's not by intelligence they'll give up the negative. Does that make sense? You know, people knew in the 50s smoking was bad. At least by the 60s it was well aware of it. But, you know, it's not until people die and all that then, okay, now using their intelligence they may consider, maybe we shouldn't do this. Does that make sense? So there must be something that they see is that it's some benefit, because they're not going to buy intelligence learned. Right? Does that make sense? So in this age, then, Lord Chaitanya gives that taste for the holy name. He gives that taste for Krishna consciousness. People are able to take advantage. Does that make sense? So that principle comes from him. But it comes through giving knowledge. It's not just sentiment and being nice. It's about giving the appropriate knowledge. That's the positive aspect. And then you can give it in the nicest way that they understand. But the point is understanding Krishna consciousness, being able to appreciate it, take it up, practice it, that's what you want. Right? Does that make sense? Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued. After the departure of the great saint Narada, Kamsa thought that all the members of the Yadu dynasty were demigods, and that any of the children born from the womb of Devaki might be Vishnu. Right? So you see how that connection is made. Is that in the verses here, it only showed that one of holding that they're all part of that they're all demigods. But that was mentioned before Narad Muni. So the point is that he came and told all that to it. So therefore, once he came, explained that, and then he got this reaction. Like before, it said that Vasudeva Devaki, and then they had, you know, 8 children, you know, 7 sons and a daughter, like this. Then it started from the first child. Right? So in the same way as that, it's explaining about how Narad Muni expressed that all these different personalities in the Lord's pastimes were all coming from the heavenly planets. Then is explaining that, you know, how in specific then Narad Muni, then he discussed with him, it created his fear and doubt. So then it comes here, because it just says he discussed. They're going to be killed, but he didn't say that they're demigods, they've taken birth in these families, so why would he go after this group unless that previous verse that was, you know, how Prabhupada translated it in the Krishna book, you know, based on that Madhva, Acharya in the Madhva line. So therefore then he's saying that he's making, that connection is made. Does that make sense? So, okay. So after the departure of the great sage Narada, Kamsa thought that all the members of the Yadu dynasty were demigods, and that any of the children born from the womb of Devaki might be Vishnu. Fearing his death, Kamsa arrested Vasudeva and Devaki and chained them with iron shackles. Suspecting each of the children to be Vishnu, Kamsa killed them one after another because of the prophecy that Vishnu would kill him. Srila Prabhupada comments, right? Srila Jiva Goswami, in his notes on this verse, has mentioned how Narad Muni gave Kamsa this information. This incident is described in the Harivamsa, right? So he's saying that the Madhvas have that particular verse. Here in R1, it doesn't have that verse, but they're accepting that principle. But it's explained by Jiva Goswami based on the Harivamsa. Narada Muni went to see Kamsa by providence, and Kamsa received him very well. Narada therefore informed him that any of the sons of Devaki might be Vishnu, because Vishnu was to kill him. Kamsa should not spare any of Devaki's children. Narada advised. Narada's intention was that Kamsa, by killing the children, would increase his sinful activity so that Krishna would soon appear to kill him. Upon receiving the instructions of Narad Muni, Kamsa killed all the children of Devaki one after another. And then, so this, yeah, see, there's notes, and then there's notes on notes, and then footnote 15. In his additional notes for this chapter, Srila Prabhupada writes, no one can blame Narada Ji for encouraging Kamsa to kill the sons of Devaki. The Saint Narada is always a well-wisher for human society, and he wanted the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, to descend to this world as soon as possible, so that the society of demigods would be pleased and would see Kamsa and his friends killed by Krishna. Kamsa would also attain salvation from his nefarious activities, and this too would very much please the demigods and their followers, right? So he would be, by being killed by the Lord, he would be purified and therefore elevated to, you know, a pure state. So they're also happy with that, not that, no, he should eternally burn and like this. No, there's not. The demigods don't have this kind of mentality. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur remarks in this connection that Narad Muni sometimes did things that were beneficial to the demigods and the demons simultaneously. Sri Viragavacharya, in his commentary, has included the following half-verse in this regard. Asura sarva etai evaita loko pa drava karinaha. Asuras are always disturbing elements for human society. So, and Vasudev's idea was is he's also having children, you know, quickly to so that they get to the eighth son, which is going to be Krishna. One is then Krishna is there, his pastimes and that wonderfulness, but he will kill Kamsa. Because the other seven, it doesn't say will kill Kamsa. So by this process, everything speeds up. Right? So one could ask, well, why would they have children if he's going to kill them all? But the point is no, because the eighth son is going to be, not the next son is going to be Krishna, the eighth son is going to be Krishna. Or the eighth child is going to be Krishna. Does that make sense? So the whole point of the devotees here is to speed up the descent of the Lord, so that the Lord comes and is able to perform his pastimes. Yes? You have something? No. The word Ajana Shankyaya indicates that Lord Vishnu never takes birth, Ajana, and that he therefore appeared as Krishna, taking birth just like a human being. Manushim Tanum Ashritam. Right, because Vishnu doesn't have human pastimes. He's the Supreme Lord. He does everything as the Supreme Lord. Does that make sense? So that's how, only Krishna does things as a human. So he does and he appears in this way. So, yes?
It doesn't sound logical to me. If the children are being killed, that would escalate Lord's descent, because they are producing children at the rate of one per year. So,
yes.
If they are killed or not killed, the eighth child will be born in the eighth year.
So, no, they're having a child every year, because Shastra recommends that you wait after, means how you say, for conception of the next child after 6 months of the first child.
But how does it...
But if there's no child there, then you can move the process up. So you get 6 months. Right? So in other words, it would have taken 12 years to get 8 children.
One per year?
No, one per year and a half. They're pious people, they follow Shastra. Otherwise, then why not, you know, 9 months? You know what I'm saying? So, you know what I'm saying?
I think yesterday or some day before we read that they were having one child per year.
Yes.
So,
but why? Because each child is getting killed, and so then they're moving up the process. Yeah? Okay. Kamsa attempted to kill all the babies born of Devaki and Vasudeva, although he knew that if Vishnu were born, he would not be killed. Actually, it came to pass that when Vishnu appeared as Krishna, Kamsa could not kill him. Rather, as foretold, it was he who killed Kamsa. One should know in truth how Krishna, who takes his birth transcendentally, acts to kill the demons, but is never killed. Right, so, even though he knew, he's killing them all because he wants to kill Vishnu, but he knows that if it is Vishnu, he can't kill him, because Vishnu will kill him. So it's just due to attachment, you try, even though it's not even actually possible. Right? But it's not that this is a glory in performing his duties and all that. No, this is not, you know, like that. Yeah, we're not talking about the 300 here, right? You know? When one perfectly understands Krishna in this way, through the medium of Shastra, one becomes immortal, right? Through the medium of Shastra, not through the medium of speculation, right? The Shastra, the Shabd is there, then we bring Pratyaksha and Anuman in line with that, right? As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 4.9, Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo vedi tattvataha tyaktva deham punar janma naitimam eti sorjuna. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. Right, so if one knows actually Krishna's transcendental position, one is absorbed in Krishna. Therefore, when one leaves the body, one will remember Krishna. So that takes you to Krishna. Does that make sense? Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, kings greedy for sense gratification on this earth almost always kill their enemies indiscriminately. To satisfy their own whims, they may kill anyone, even their mothers, fathers, brothers, or friends. Srila Prabhupada comments. We have seen in the history of India that Aurangzeb killed his brother and nephews and imprisoned his father to fulfill political ambitions. There have been many similar instances, so that means Aurangzeb was a younger brother. Oh, so he shouldn't have been the king. Oh, okay. But that's kind of like that family line, no? It seems to be a Turk thing.
Even I heard that Jahangir, he poisoned Akbar.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. Die. Yeah, getting rid of him. That's just really crazy. There have been many similar instances, and Kamsa was the same type of king. Kamsa did not hesitate to kill his nephews and imprison his sister and his father. For demons to do such things is not astonishing, right? So this is demons. This is not just standard king stuff. This is demon stuff, right? It's not, it's there. So in the Vedic culture, when it's practiced appropriately, you don't see this stuff. But when they deviate from it, then you may see. But that's not because of the Vedic. That's just because of materialism, the demoniac mentality. For demons to do such thing is not astonishing. Nonetheless, although Kamsa was a demon, he was aware that Lord Vishnu cannot be killed, and thus he attained salvation, right? Because he knows that's why he attained his salvation, while we saw Hiranyakashipu and Ravana didn't, right? Because they didn't actually understand the supremacy of the Lord. They just thought he was a powerful person, you know, and somehow or another by fate, then it came out this way. But if it had been some adjustment, then it would have been different. Does that make sense? But he knew that Vishnu can't be killed, so he knew his position. So when he's being killed, then it must be Vishnu, so therefore he understands his position. Even partial understanding of the activities of Lord Vishnu makes one eligible for salvation. Kamsa knew a little about Krishna, that he could not be killed, and therefore he attained salvation, although he thought of Vishnu, Krishna, as an enemy. What then is to be said of one who knows Krishna perfectly from the descriptions of shastras like Bhagavad Gita? Right? He just knew a little bit, and it was inimical. So if you know nicely and you're devotional, then it definitely has to be good. Mm-hmm.
So Kamsa, he came to know that Vishnu because of Narada Muni, that touch of a devotee.
Yes. Yeah, means in other words, to have the proper understanding can only come from some devotional service. So he's that devotional service is that. Mm-hmm. As we see, the others then didn't get that association. Mm-hmm. What then is to be said of one who knows Krishna perfectly from the descriptions of shastras like Bhagavad Gita? It is therefore the duty of everyone to read Bhagavad Gita and understand Krishna perfectly. This will make one's life successful. Srila Sugadeva Goswami continued. In his previous birth, Kamsa had been a great demon named Kalanemi and had been killed by Vishnu. Upon learning this information from Narada, Kamsa became envious of everyone connected with the Yadu dynasty. Right? So he knew that he was this demon, right? Footnote 16. The battle between Kalanemi and Lord Vishnu was described in the 8th canto during the fight between the demigods and the demons. O king, when the demon Kalanemi, who was carried by a lion, saw that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, carried by Garuda, was on the battlefield, the demon immediately took his trident, whirled it, and discharged it at Garuda's head. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, the master of the three worlds, immediately caught the trident, and with the very same weapon, he killed the enemy, Kalanemi, along with his carrier, the lion. Srimad Bhagavatam 8:10-56. Yes, so then, now he's learned all this about, that's what happened last life, so. Yeah, don't mess with the Lord Vishnu. Kamsa, the most powerful son of Ugrasena, even imprisoned his own father, the king of the Yadu, Bhoja, and Andaka dynasties, and personally ruled the states known as Surasena. Srila Prabhupada provides the following information on the background of Kalanemi in his additional notes for this chapter. Formerly, an asura named Kalanemi had six sons, named Hamsa, Suvikrama, Krata, Damana, Ripur, Mardana, and Kroda, Hanta. They were known as the Sudgarbhas, or six Garbhas, and they were all equally powerful and expert in military affairs. These six Garbhas gave up the association of Hiranyakashipu, their grandfather, and underwent great austerities to satisfy Lord Brahma, who, upon being satisfied, agreed to give them whatever benediction they might desire. When asked by Lord Brahma to state what they wanted, the Sudgarbhas replied, "Dear Lord Brahma, if you want to give us a benediction, give us the blessing that we will not be killed by any demigod, Maha, Roga, Yaksha, Gandharvapati, Siddha, Charna, or human being, nor by great sages who are perfect in their penances and austerities." Brahma understood their purpose and fulfilled their desire. But when Hiranyakashipu came to know of these events, he was very angry at his grandsons. "You have given up my association of gone to worship Lord Brahma," right? Because he did that. So now that he has that benediction of what he thinks is immortality, why don't they just take shelter of him? Right? "You have given up my association of gone to worship Lord Brahma. Therefore I no longer have any affection for you. You have tried to save yourself from the hands of the demigods, but I curse you in this way. Your father will take birth as Kamsa and kill all of you because you will take birth as sons of Devaki." Because of this curse, the grandsons of Hiranyakashipu had to take birth from the womb of Devaki and be killed by Kamsa, although he was previously their father. This description is mentioned in the Harivamsa, Vishnu Parva, second chapter, right? So this is known. And so that's why Narad Muni doesn't have any problem. We could say, why is Narad getting involved like this? But one, he's speeding up so the Lord comes, and it's not a problem because they're destined anyway to be killed. You know, they're demons, they were destined to be killed anyway by their father. According to the comments of the Vaishnava Toshini, the son of Devaki, known as Kirtiman, was the third incarnation. In his first incarnation, he was known as Smara and was the son of Marichi, and later he became the son of Kalanemi. This is mentioned in the histories. Right, so they're all there, and then after that they come as... So they're sons of Marichi, then they become sons of Kalanemi, then they become sons of Devaki, and then killed by their father from the previous life.
They laughed at Lord Brahma when he was chasing after his daughter. And Brahma was...
Say again?
When Lord Brahma was chasing after his daughter, these six sons laugh at Lord Brahma.
Oh, I see. So that's how then they ended up as sons of Kalanemi. Okay. And then from there, then it kept going. So once you start something, you have to be careful starting bad habits, right? You know, upsetting authorities. So they upset Brahma, then they upset Hiranyakashipu. You know, and then now just by their birth, they're upsetting Kamsa. Right, so... Conclusion. Pratigya. If religion is philosophers and people in general simply hear the activities of Krishna, they will be liberated. Third purport. Hetu. If anyone willingly or unwillingly hears Krishna Katha, his bhava roga, the disease of birth and death, will certainly stop. Therefore, Krishna Katha is called bhavaushada, the remedy to stop the repetition of birth and death. Right? Because bhava means material. Right? Karmis, or persons attached to material sense enjoyment, generally cannot give up their material desires. But Krishna Katha is such a potent medicine that if one is induced to hear Krishna Katha, Krishna Kirtana, he will certainly be freed from this disease. Fourth purport, Udaharana. Krishna Katha is so enlivening that Maharaj Parikit forgot everything material, even his personal comfort, in relation to food and drink. This is an example of how the Krishna conscious movement should spread all over the world to bring both the speaker and the audience to the transcendental platform and back home, back to Godhead. 15th purport. Practical example is Dhruva Maharaj, who at the end of his tapasya was very fully satisfied. When the Lord wanted to give Dhruva benediction, Dhruva refused it. fourth purport. Upanaya. A question may arise regarding the qualification of the speaker. Can we hear Krishna Katha from anyone? To stop this repetition of birth and death, Krishna Katha or Krishna consciousness is absolutely necessary. But unless one hears Krishna Katha from a realized soul, like Sukadeva Goswami, one cannot relish the nectar of Krishna Katha, which puts an end to all material fatigue, and enjoy the blissful life of transcendental existence. In relation to the Krishna conscious movement, we actually see that those who have tasted the nectar of Krishna Katha lose all material desires. Then a doubt may be there. Why can't one relish Krishna Katha if it is not coming from a self-realized soul? Especially in this age, because people are interested in hearing Bhagavad Gita from unscrupulous persons who depart from the simple presentation of Bhagavad Gita and distort it for their personal satisfaction. They fail to derive the real benefit. There are big scholars, politicians, philosophers, and scientists who speak on Bhagavad Gita in their own polluted way. And people in general hear from them, being uninterested in hearing the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead from a devotee. A devotee is one who has no other motive for reciting Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam than to serve the Lord. One should avoid hearing from a person not situated in Vaishnava behavior. A Vaishnava is Nivritta Trishna, that is, he has no material purpose, for his only purpose is to preach Krishna consciousness. So-called scholars, philosophers, and politicians exploit the importance of Bhagavad Gita by distorting its meaning for their own purposes. Therefore, this verse warns that Krishna Katha should be recited by a person who is Nivritta Trishna, a qualified reciter of Srimad Bhagavatam. Oh, a qualified reciter of Srimad Bhagavatam gives the right medicine, bhavaushadi, for the conditioned souls. The Krishna conscious movement is therefore trying to train qualified preachers to recite Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita throughout the entire world, so that people in general, in all parts of the world, may take advantage of this movement, and thus be relieved of the threefold miseries of material existence. Although such persons may make a show of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam at a Bhagavat Sapta, but this is another creation of the karmis, who cannot derive any benefit from such a performance. So here in the Upanayana means we're bringing close, that we've given the point, but then in bringing close here, there are still some further doubts. So then this Upanayana is taking care of those doubts. Right? So we see here included in the Upanayana, it also has the Samshaya and the the Uttara, right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You still have that?
Yes.
Okay. The following, so that keeps it within this context. Because the other one, it's a dialogue, so you know it's an argument, so therefore it's presented in that form. But here, because we're just working on the standard just of the presentation, because we're in control of the discussion. So then that five is used in that way. So when we need, we just put in the shamshaya. The following... you can put just a little back there, but it's within the Upanaya. You know, then you'd have to put here Siddhanta. Yeah, like that. You can. But the point is it's just come into it. It's the doubt. The following verse poses the next question regarding the qualification of the hearer. The glorification of the Supreme Lord, Supreme Personality of Godhead, is performed in the parampara system. That is, it is conveyed from spiritual master to disciple. Such glorification is relished by those no longer interested in the false temporary glorification of this cosmic manifestation. Descriptions of the Lord are the right medicine for the conditioned soul undergoing repeated birth and death. Therefore, who will cease hearing such glorification of the Lord except a butcher or one who is killing his own self, right? So the butcher is killing others, and those who have that impersonal concept don't believe in their own existence, they're killing themselves. So the impersonalist and the person who kills others or violence towards others, they're the ones who can't understand. That's why violence or envy is considered the one thing you can't connect to the Lord, because that's what starts all the other problems. Does that make sense? So that should always be seen carefully. Srila Prabhupada elaborates, everyone within this material world, beginning from Brahma down to the insignificant ant, is full of material desires for a sense enjoyment, and everyone is busy in sense gratification. But when this, when thus engaged, one cannot fully understand the value of Krishna Katha, either in the form of Bhagavad Gita or in Srimad Bhagavatam. Those interested in Trivarga, that is, in Dharma, Artha, and Kama, are religious for the sake of achieving a material position with which to gain better facilities for sense gratification, right? So Dharma, Artha, Kama is how they come, right? You perform Dharma, that will give you Artha. With Artha, then you can have Kama, right? Sense gratification. But we notice when Vishwanath, in his commentary, he said Kama, Artha, Dharma, because that's actually what they're doing. They want Kama. That means I have to have Artha. I can only get that through Dharma. Therefore, they do Dharma. You understand? So that's the direction of their motive. Like that. Okay. Those interested in Trivarga, that is, in Dharma, Artha, and Kama, are religious for the sake of achieving a material position with which to gain better facilities for sense gratifications, right? So their goal is sense gratification. Though they're using the platform of Dharma for that, so we would consider them religious. But because their attention is aimed down, then we'll, you know, as Trivarga, we won't consider that's the lowest level of the, you know, how you say, of the, you know, this is mundane theology. But at least they accept the Shastra. Then, a higher form of that mundane theology will be, they accept the platform of Gyan. So they perform Dharma to get them to Gyan. Right? But the best will be is that the pure theology where you accept the Lord in His transcendental position, so therefore with bhakti. But you do have those that even accept His transcendental position and still go for karma or Gyan. Does that make sense? I mean, like we saw, Daksha. When he came again, who is born again? Forget who was his father then. But then he performed his austerity, saw the Lord, offered prayers, understands his transcendental position, but he simply wants to be good at performing his material activities. Right? So that is someone then who has the transcendental understanding of the Lord, but is not past karma. Right? So even taking up theology, there's those that take it up from an atheistic position that, you know, they don't really, it's an advantage. Then there's those who take it up from that there is a supreme, but they have material concept of the supreme. Then you have those who are theistic, who then accept the transcendental position of the Lord, but whether they're interested in karma jnana or in pure bhakti. So these are the stages of development, right? So then we're talking about here is that they're interested in the lower end, right? So then, as we saw before, the mimamsakas, then they have a mundane concept of the Lord. They accept that they're theists. But the point is it's a mundane concept. Right? Then you have those who are theists, but it's a transcendental concept. Right. So, on the platform of Dharma, you have both types. Such persons are killing themselves by willingly keeping themselves in the cycle of birth and death. They cannot be interested in Krishna consciousness. So the more they're committed to karma jnana, the less they can understand Krishna consciousness. The spiritual master and disciple do not need to understand anything more than Krishna, because simply by understanding Krishna and talking about Krishna, one becomes a perfectly learned person. This leads us to the practical question. Okay, so if I become a qualified hearer and approach a bona fide speaker, how exactly will Krishna Katha make me liberated? Because death is a punishment imposed in the condemned life of material existence. The Vedic culture is based on avoiding death. Chaktvayadeham punar janma naiti, Bhagavad Gita 4.9. Everyone should try to avoid death and rebirth by cultivating spiritual life and should not submit to death without struggling to survive. 48 purport. Right, so avoiding death is to avoid birth. So the only point of extending life is so that one can avoid birth. But it's not just live a little bit longer, then die and take birth again. Then that's a waste of time. One should know in truth how Krishna, who takes his birth, transcendentally acts to kill the demons, but is never killed. When one perfectly understands Krishna in this way, through the medium of Shastra, one becomes immortal. 65 to 66 purport. Right? So Hiranyakashipu had only known this. Unfortunately, he took up the wrong method. Right? And the final point of clarification, are there any other qualifications or prerequisites for me, the listener, or the authorized speaker, than the ones mentioned above? The spiritual master and disciple do not need to understand anything more than Krishna, because simply by understanding Krishna and talking about Krishna, one becomes a perfectly learned person. Yasmin vigyate sarvam evam vigyatvam bhavati. Mundaka Upanishad 1.3 from the fourth purport. So here we also see is that the literary style where the same verse is used in many, many different points. So many points are in this one verse, it's used as evidence for the all. Well, in the modern, oh, you already used this one, you have to use a different one. No, but it works for all of them. It has so many points within it. Right? So that's the... Okay, so stop here.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai. Soma Vekha Vakta Vindaki, Jai Natai Gaurav Premanandaki.